Joey Jones is a former advisor to Theresa May, currently a senior counsel at the Cicero Group. Joey Jones, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. What happens next?
Well, I think if I was in Downing Street right at the moment, I would be. There would be some alarm bells jangling a bit, because it feels as though after yesterday's anti-climax, a whole load of different interests and agendas are at play, including the Prime Minister's, which of course is an agreement that's been nailed down with the European Union. And he doesn't need this to be a sort of kaleidoscopic negotiation over the next few days and weeks. He needs this essentially to be a binary issue where he brings it to a head in some way. And yes, it's true that the complications of parliamentary procedure might yet unravel a vote, a meaningful vote, even if it goes his way. But I feel as though he needs to have that authority in his back pocket. And I wonder whether some people in Downing Street might be considering that walking away from that prospect yesterday, almost in a fit of pique, if you like, after Oliver Letwin's amendment went through, may actually have lost them that opportunity to get a bit of steel into their position and basically say, look, this does have the backing of the majority of Parliament, which would make it easier for them to knock down opponents and suggest that they are obstructing the will of Parliament.
Is there actually a majority there, though? Because Amber Rudd was saying this morning that there was a fragile but sincere coalition who would support what she called meaningful vote four. It looks more fragile than sincere from here.
It certainly is very fragile, and we won't know until we get to a vote. If you look at the numbers yesterday, and Oliver Letwin himself stood up, of course, just after his own amendment was passed, and said that a substantial grouping within his, if you like, rebel Tory band that were kicked out of the Conservative Party would now come back on side to do everything that they could to help the Prime Minister. So it looks as though the numbers might just be there, but it would certainly be very, very tight. But until that vote has been had, then it all feels like shadow boxing. And as I say, there's a sort of an equivalence, really, between the Prime Minister's position and positions that are being espoused by, as you heard there, the DUP, by the Labour Party, and pretty much everybody else, which is not helpful, I think, for him. He needs to bring this to a head now.
Yeah, well, we heard from Geoffrey Donaldson, as you mentioned, and basically, unless there are changes, which would require, he says, renegotiation with the EU, they will not support Mr. Johnson's deal. So the DUP are really out of play then, are they, from Boris Johnson's point of view?
It's very hard to see how they could be brought back on board. The gap is very wide, and the only way, as you, the question that you put, I think, was absolutely right. It's hard to see how changes could be made to that could accommodate the DUP, which would not then require a further negotiation with Brussels, which is the last thing that European governments and the negotiators want at the moment. That's not, I think, where Boris Johnson wants to go. He wants to bring this deal forward and persuade people, as he has done remarkably, really, with his with the ERG on the Brexit wing of the Conservative Party, that this is the right thing to support. I can't see how that can be done as far as the DUP is concerned at the moment. They really do seem to be a long, long way away from the position that's been agreed between UK government and EU negotiators.
Now, there's been a lot of talk in the British media about the number of letters Mr. Johnson sent last night, which ones were signed and which ones weren't, but the fact of the matter is, he has asked for an extension. And when he was asked that question, can you promise today to the British public that you will not go back to Brussels and ask for another extension? He replied, yes, I can. I would rather be dead in a ditch. He's done it and he ain't in no ditch.
No, and it was all rather sort of pantomime, that whole thing last night. I don't yet know, and we'll see these things start to filter through in polling over the next few days, how it will have gone down with the British public. It seems to me that it was rather childish, the way in which the Prime Minister conducted himself, as you say, signing one thing or sending it in a ropey old photocopy of an email or whatever. It doesn't seem to me to be the sort of thing that does us great credit. it on the European or international stage. Having said that, there is such disdain for politicians and for the delay among the British people that they may feel that sort of pantomime actually reflects their feelings quite adequately. And if you look at the national polling, it does seem to suggest that Boris Johnson is on an upswing. But it was a funny thing yesterday. We have to look at yesterday because it was an anti-climax and try to seek indications as to where it might lead us in the future. Boris Johnson was veering between actually very quite low-key and statesmanlike rhetoric and collegiate rhetoric at the beginning of the proceedings, then, as I say, into something that was much more theatrical in terms of the way in which he addressed the letters in the evening. But I think one thing that was important was that the Labour Party position was pretty intellectually coherent and resilient, and Keir Starmer did a good job in the Commons. The Labour Party, broadly speaking, have been all over the place over the past few weeks, and there was a genuine potential that they might unravel under the pressure of the Prime Minister coming back with a deal. But they seem quite steely, which I think again is cause for concern within government.
Okay, Joey Jones, thank you indeed for joining us.